Our scripture reading this morning is from Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. I felt the powerful presence of the Lord, and His Spirit took me and set me down in a valley where the ground was covered with bones. He led me all around the valley, and I could see that there were very many bones and that they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal man, can these bones come back to life?" I replied, "Sovereign Lord, only you can answer that." He said, "Prophesy to the bones. Tell these dry bones to listen to the word of the Lord. Tell them that I, the Sovereign Lord, am saying to them, I am going to put breath into you and bring you back to life. I will give you sinews and muscles and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and bring you back to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I'd been told. While I was speaking, I heard a rattling noise, and the bones began to join together. While I watched, these bones were covered with sinews and muscles, and then with skin, but there was no breath in their bodies. God said to me, "Mortal man, prophesy to the wind. Tell the wind that the Sovereign Lord commands it to come from every direction to breathe into these dead bodies and bring them back to life." So I prophesied as I had been told. Breath entered the bodies, and they came to life and stood up. There were enough of them to form an army. God said to me, "Mortal man, the people of Israel are like these bones. They say that they are dried up without any hope and with no future. So prophesy to my people Israel and tell them that I, the Lord God, am going to open their graves. I'm going to take them out and bring them back to the land of Israel. When I open the graves where my people are buried and bring them out, they will know that I am the Lord. I will put my breath in them, bring them back to life, and let them live in their own land. Then they will know that I am the Lord. I have promised that I would do this, and I will. I, the Lord, have spoken." May the Lord add His blessing to the reading.
We're going to turn in our black hymnal, number 2025. This might be a new one to you, but it's a great, great chorus. Meredith's going to play it through all the way through once for us, and then we will sing it once, and I will lead it as best I can with my scratchy voice. This as we prepare for the word. Our prayer. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? Lord, open the ears and eyes of our hearts to hear your word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I had an older brother by the name of Paul who unfortunately passed away about 4 years ago. But we kind of had another brother, too, by the name of Ichabod. Now, let me tell you about Icky. In 1973, the American Baptist Churches USA had an evangelistic thrust called T73. Some of you may remember it. I'm sure Ken probably remembers T73. It was an evangelistic thrust to help revitalize and re-energize the people in our churches so that they could go out into the community with the love of Christ. My father served on that evangelism team, and at the time he was the director of evangelism and church development for the Los Angeles Baptist City Mission Society, which is now the American Baptist Churches of Los Angeles. My father wrote a sermon for that evangelistic thrust, which actually covered about 2 years. He wrote a sermon entitled Dry Bones, which was based on this same passage in Ezekiel. Now, my father was very creative and a very good preacher, and so he really wanted to have something visual that would really catch people's attention when he preached a sermon, which he preached in over 100 churches in a 2-year period with about 1,500 responses. And so what he did was he made an almost life-size skeleton. Dave, if you would turn that over, the top one. These are the visual aids today. You can see that. That is Ichabod. He named him Ichabod. Those are my two sons when they were little, standing next to it. So he would get to the church early. Every Sunday he was in a different church in the Los Angeles area, and he would get to the church and he would hang it up on a metal hook and he would cover it with a black cloth. And then during the sermon time, when it got to a very poignant point, he would pull that black cloth off, and there would be Ichabod in all his glory. Well, you can imagine that after 2 years, my brother and I began to think that this really was one of our siblings. But Ichabod is long gone now. That sermon and Ichabod really affected my life. Now, I am not going to preach my father's sermon to you this morning. Unfortunately, I don't even have a copy of that, which I wish I did. But I do think that Ichabod has something to teach us, and I want us to look at this passage from Ezekiel to see what we can learn from Ichabod and those dry bones. Now, I'm sure some of you have seen optical illusions. They're those pictures that deceive our minds, that we see one thing and then we might see another. Dave, would you turn the whole thing around? This is probably a real familiar one to you. All right? When you look at this, can everybody see this? Most of the time, everybody that looks at it, when you first look at it, you see an old woman with shriveled up and, chiseled features. Does everybody see an old woman, or anybody who sees an old woman in that picture? Nobody? One, two. Okay, three. Do I hear any more? All right. Now, I'm going to assume, maybe, that the rest of you might see a young, beautiful woman with a hat on. How many see the young, beautiful woman? How many don't see anything? All right. You know, it's interesting how we can look at the same image but see different things. And life often feels that same way. We're presented with a reality, but it's how we choose to view that reality that will determine how we respond to it. Now, I've had to wear glasses or contact lenses since I was in the sixth grade. And if I took them off or out, everything would be blurry. I wouldn't see much past the first row, you know. But as soon as I put them on or in, I can see clearly because I'm nearsighted and I need those. When we choose to follow Christ, it's like putting on glasses or contact lenses. Christ gives us the opportunity to look at life in a whole new way. And even sometimes, though, we have that new vision available to us, we still choose to look at life the same way. We accept Christ, but we reject his vision. It's like being nearsighted, but declining the use of glasses. I have to have contacts and reading glasses now. If we don't learn to see things the way God sees them, then we're going to miss out on what God wants to do in our lives and in our church. In the scripture passage that Dave read from you from Ezekiel, we find the prophet Ezekiel, who lived during a very tumultuous time in Israel's history. The nation had become a mere shell of its former self. The country had been splintered between two nations. The Assyrians had dispersed Israel hundreds of years earlier. And now Judah was becoming as idolatrous as Israel, and they were heading for destruction. The Babylonian Empire reigned supreme over this whole region of the world. They overtook the land of Judah and they carried their inhabitants off. And so not only did the Jews have to deal with the brutal treatment of their captors, but they had to adjust to a new culture. After Ezekiel, God called Ezekiel to be a prophet. He began to prophesy about the destruction of Jerusalem, but nobody paid any attention to him until it actually happened. And Jerusalem actually fell in 586 B.C., and all that remained was a pile of rubble. So everything in the Jews' life had been turned upside down. You know, they didn't have their temple anymore. They had no identity. They had no hope. They had no future. All the miracles that they had seen over the years, they no longer even seemed like a possibility. They simply couldn't see beyond their present situation. And in the midst of this situation, Ezekiel tells us that he was carried off by the Spirit to a valley. And in this vision, he witnesses the floor of a valley that is just covered with bones. And it even describes them as dry bones. They show no life at all. And then in the midst of this, God asks Ezekiel, "Can bones live?" Well, this is a question really of vision. What does Ezekiel actually see? Does he see only the present circumstance, or does he see the possibility of a miracle? Ezekiel responds, "Only you know, Lord." And so then God tells Ezekiel to prophesy or to preach at the bones. And it says, "Preach to them so to bring them together and to return life into them." Well, God is asking Ezekiel to do something that seems ridiculous to us. You know, prophesying to dry bones, well, that's not something normal. Bones are, to be buried, to laid to rest. They're not recipients of prophesying or preaching. So God is asking Ezekiel to take a leap into the unknown, asking him to act in spite of what he sees. And Ezekiel does it. And then as the passage goes on, all of a sudden, Ezekiel, much to his own surprise, begins to hear a rattling. And then he notices that the bones are beginning to move about. And he watches, just like that old spiritual. He watches the foot bone connect to the ankle bone, and the ankle bone connect to the shin bone, and the shin bone connect to the knee bone. And then what do we say? "Now hear the word of the Lord." I'm not going to sing it for you. Ezekiel watches this wondrous and ghastly sight as skeletons start to grow flesh and muscle and sinew over the dry bones. And as God continues to work and Ezekiel continues to preach, the Spirit of God re-enters those bodies. Now, in this vision, the bones represented the nation of Israel. With the destruction of Jerusalem, they had lost all hope. They felt cut off from God, from their home and their heritage, and from the miraculous acts of the past. The Jews could only see their present circumstance. What did they see? They saw pain and suffering because they didn't see things from God's perspective. Through the vision, God is promising spiritual renewal to the nation of Israel. The exiles from Judah had a choice to be led by their own vision or by God's vision. Is reality what we see? In 2007, the Washington Post did an experiment to test what people actually see. They sent a young man by the name of Joshua Bell down into one of the metro stations in Washington. Now, he was a nondescript young-looking man. He had a pair of jeans on and a long-sleeved T-shirt and a Washington Nationals baseball cap on. And then he opened a violin box and took a violin out. And he turned the, you don't call it a box, a violin case. That wasn't right. Turned the case around, and he put a couple of dollar bills and some change in there. You know how they do to prime the pump and put some seed money in there. And then he began to play. He played Bach and Mozart and Beethoven for about 40 minutes. About 1,000 people probably in that 40 minutes passed by him, hardly giving him a glance. But if they had, they would have discovered that this young man, Joshua Bell, was a world-renowned violinist, and that the violin he was playing was a rare Stradivarius worth over $3 million. Now, in that time that he was there, he got about $27 thrown in, minus what he'd put in, from the few people that had at least stopped to throw something in. A few weeks before that, he had sold out the Boston Symphony Hall at the cheapest seats were $100. You know, the people in the subway station that day, all they saw was an out-of-work musician playing for some pocket change. But in reality, they had been witnesses to a world-famous musician. Ezekiel's vision shows that we must never let the present situation determine our future outcome. That's exactly what was happening to the Jews. They were allowing their hopelessness that they saw to dictate their vision of reality. Sometimes we're guilty of that same thing. Now, I'm not calling you a bunch of dried-up bones, I can assure you of that. But I know that in a time of transition like this, when we don't know what the next step is, we don't know what's coming, we don't know who the next pastor is going to be, we see a sanctuary that used to be filled a little more with young children and youth and young families. We can get discouraged looking at our present reality. But we have to have faith in the future, because the present can have a powerful effect on our attitudes. The beauty of following Christ is that Jesus gives us a vision for a better future. When we lay aside our own vision and replace it with God's vision, we can have hope in the midst of any situation. We can believe that the impossible is once again possible. There are promises that God has given us for the future, and we can never let our present dictate how we respond to that. God's vision is always bigger than ours, so we need to continue to trust Him to complete the miracle. There was no way that Ezekiel could renew the nation of Israel, just as he couldn't make bones rejoin. The miracle is first and foremost God's responsibility. It's not our job to try and perform miracles. It's our job to believe, to step out in faith, and let God work miracles in and through us. Erwin McManus was pastoring the Cornerstone Church in South Dallas. The church was growing, and it was outgrowing its present building, and so they began to look for some property that they could buy and build another building, and they found an acre of land in a prime area, and they wondered why no one else had grabbed it up. And so they prayed about whether this was to be the place that they would build their new building, and soon they were able to purchase that property. Then they went through the normal getting permits and having tests done, and the word came back that this land was unbuildable. It was actually a giant landfill. The church was angry, upset, discouraged. Erwin said, we had wasted all this time and money, and we had bought a garbage dump. He said, I didn't know what to say to my people, but all I could say was, pray. Pray that God will somehow perform a miracle. And so they prayed in their discouragement and in their frustration. And about 6 months later, they asked them to come back and do the test over again. And this time, they discovered soil. Erwin said, I can't tell you what happened at 286 South Street, But what I can tell you is that God performed a miracle. And today, Cornerstone Church worships on that acre of land. We can't transform garbage into soil. We can't make bones come back to life. However, we serve a God who can make the impossible a reality. All we have to do is continue to believe God and that He will do what He promises. So I guess my brother Ichabod still has lessons to teach us. Can bones live? Absolutely. As long as we continue to follow God's vision, keep believing in His promises, and keep acting on those promises, trusting that God will keep making the miracle a reality. But the question is, what do you see? Remember, the future depends on your response. Let us pray. Lord, we know that You are a God of miracles. We see that throughout the Bible and throughout history. And so we give You ourselves, Lord, and we take a step of faith, knowing that You are going to unfold unbelievable things for this church in the weeks and months and years ahead. And we thank You in advance for that. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final hymn is number 191, Spirit of God in the Clear Running Water. Couldn't read my writing. We're going to sing verses 1 and 4. And listen to these words as we talked about God's Spirit working in and through us. Hymn number 191, verses 1 and 4. Words from Numbers. God is not like people who lie. He is not a human who changes his mind. Whatever he promises, he does. He speaks, and it is done. Lord, we ask that Your Spirit will blow in and through us, and that You will lead us into the future. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.